Hi, guys. And so we live another day in clown world where Sam Smith is being told that he's not a man. The Library of Congress is apologizing for using the correct pronouns. A man pretends to be a woman to get into a school program he's always wanted to get into. And lastly, self-flagellating white people tell the world that they have no culture. Let's talk about it. Yo, welcome to the show and happy Wednesday. It's hump day. Hope you're having a good time in the middle of this very busy week. We have many stories to talk to you about today, but before that, please like and subscribe. I want as many people to find this channel as possible so you guys know what to do. And without further ado, we have Taylor in Nashville.
Happy hump day, holding it down for the self-flagellating white people.
Yeah. We're going to get to your white guilt and white fragility in just a moment, Taylor. We also have Cam in the producer's bay.
Hey, guys.
Another white man who, by the end of the stream, will likely be saying he has no culture. Let's get into some of the stories for today. As you guys know, or maybe don't know, because who watches award shows anymore, the VMAs is right around the corner, and they have, in fact, released the list of people that they have nominated for Best Music Video, Video of the Year, Best Female Artist, Best Male Artist, and it's become increasingly hard to have award shows these days, right? And I guess the problem at the front of everybody's mind is, how do you do it with the gendered language, right? How can you say best female artist or best male artist? We're getting that all mixed up these days. People are identifying with different, you know, sexualities and genders and pronouns. And now we have evidence of this, in fact, becoming a problem. A popular Twitter account by the name Pop Crave, which keeps you up to date on pop culture, things that are happening with celebrities and award shows, tweeted out, quote, "No men were nominated for Video of the Year at the 2023 VMAs. And if you're watching right now, I want you to take a look at this photo. You're going to see artists Doja Cat, Miley Cyrus, Olivia Rodrigo, Nicki Minaj. I think that's Melly Martinez, I'm not quite sure. Taylor Swift, SZA, and one name that I left out, Sam Smith. Now let's go back to what the tweet said again, right? No men were nominated for Video of the Year at the 2023 VMAs. And there, and if you can't see it, we'll zoom in and I'll even circle him for you, is Sam Smith sitting among the nominees. Now, famously, Sam Smith identifies as a non-binary they-them, and he's been on the pipeline to probably go further with this identity. Who knows? He initially came out as gay, and that was a big deal, sort of shook the world before an album release. And now he says that he is a non-binary they, them. And let's watch this clip here so that we can simply confirm this. He was on a talk show where, you know, they asked about things that he would like to do. And Sam Smith had the idea of being a fisherman. But of course, that's gendered language. So what do we switch the word fisherman out for?
No.
Yeah, yes, I do.
What?
Yeah, I'd love to be a fisherman.
What, like a fly fisherman?
I'd be any type of fisherman. I think I would like to, one day, I'd just like to end my days fishing. Like,
we can solve that.
Do you fly fishing?
Okay. So just one more time. Just one more time. Hold on. Let's just see it again.
Yeah, I'd love to be a fisherman.
What, like a fly fisherman?
I'd be any type of fisherman.
Ah, you know, and I don't want to come down on like a massive attack on Sam Smith alone. This is clearly, you know, a sign of a larger issue within culture, right? And if we have made gender this sort of a fluid structure where anybody can choose what they want and you feel uncomfortable with yourself, then why wouldn't you go and change out your pronouns for something like they, them, and say fisher them instead of fisherman, or, you know, I want to be a male them or a business them. It's really hard to do the math in your head for how to switch these words out, which is exactly why he was immediately corrected by another host on this show who says, oh, you would like to be a fisherman? Because it's kind of hard to keep up, let's be honest. But I guess we are starting to accept these things, because if Pop Crave can put out a tweet that says no men were nominated for Video of the Year, and they have not been, I think, the only publication to make this statement, then I guess we're just going to accept that Sam Smith is not a biological man. And if he wins, I guess it's a win for the non-binaries. It's not a win for women. It's a win for they, thems.
Yeah, not a win for the dictionary or objective reality or truth or anything, but they've been on a losing streak recently anyways. So, you know, but the Fish Rhythm clip this time watching it, it gave the same energy as that video that we did last week on the neo pronouns girl, who is like really smiley and happy and very like friendly on its face. But she's also like, you know, by the way, if you don't want to be a discriminatory bigot, you should just use people's pronouns. Isn't that a nice thing? You know, and I feel like the Sam Smith has this very like gentle sort of face when he's saying like fisherman, but it's kind of this weird like I'm nicely being very aggressive and correcting your language and kind of insinuating there's a demand on you to use this language and you'll be a bigot if you're not willing to use it.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't think it was going to go as far as occupations, like changing out the word businessman and businesswoman, but alas, here we are, and they are fisher thems. I could feel like the little twitch he had when the lady was like, oh, a fisherman, you know, like, no, I said fisher them. That is what I want to be. And the Sam Smith story is, again, as I said before, it's not one that stands on its own. There are many other celebrities that have taken very similar paths to what Sam Smith has chosen to do. And we have people in our everyday lives that are, you know, going on the same path. And there seems to be sort of stepping stones as things become accepted on a greater basis by society. As I said before, Sam Smith initially came out as gay, and that was the thing that sort of shook the media. Sam Smith comes out as gay and then releases an album. Here's even a clip of him talking about that on Ellen.
Very young age, and then I kind of felt like I just had to mention it before I released my record, just so people knew that the record was who it was about. And I know, it felt like a brave thing to do as well. I wanted to do it before. Because people would have thought, if I did it afterwards, people probably would have thought I was lying just to sell records, which wasn't the case.
Right. Well, that's great that you did that. I think, and what's more, I think the most important thing is what matters is talent.
Yes.
And, you know, this just happens to be who you are, but it's talent.
And I agree with what Ellen said there. Really, what matters at the end of the day is talent. Nobody truly cares who you're sleeping with or what it is that you're doing in your free time. And particularly when you're an adult, I don't think that that causes much concern for people. When it turns into, you know, calling yourself a fish or them, then maybe there's something to say there. But what's interesting, what was said here, is not that Sam Smith would have hid his sexuality in order to sell records, right? That's the idea that we get spun, right? If you come out as gay, if you come out as trans, if you come out as non-binary, that would hurt your record sales, right? Because people don't accept those identities. He said here, I didn't come out as a means of making people buy my album more and like making more sales, which means we've definitely skewed in the direction of like, if you identify with a marginalized community, whatever that might be, you can say, well, I'm a person of color, I'm trans, I'm non-binary. That, in fact, pedestalizes you within the public eye and within the view of public opinion. So that was an interesting just little tidbit there that I sort of just thought of from watching that video.
Yeah, it seems like the identity politics temperature rising has increased the tendency of art to turn into activism. And it's no longer enough to like be an artist who happens to be gay or happens to be black or whatever. And that's like, that's cool. That's part of who you are and your story, but it's not something that needs to be the focal point of everything that you do or something that, you know, you always need to be being an activist about. And now Sam Smith is an interesting example because we saw just in this clip, like from 2014, looked like a much more healthy mentality, also healthier physically, but I guess we won't go there. But as time has progressed, which is kind of as this sort of woke identity politics wave has crested in society, he's kind of just rode that wave, it seems like, and is sort of emblematic of this tendency for artists to become increasingly activists. And you lose something there. You lose sort of the like integrity of the art itself, and also just like the unifying power that art has. Like I remember a lot of his early hit songs, everyone was singing them, and it was just like this, oh wow, this is this awesome talented guy coming out of the UK. He's got an amazing voice.
Right.
And you see his newer stuff, which I think you have a clip queued up here in a second, but yeah. it's not about that anymore. There's something else going on.
Yeah, we'll just play a little bit of his stage performance in the background here as we're talking about it. This is what Sam Smith has now turned into, and it's happened with a lot of celebrities recently. It's really strange to watch it unfold. And of course, it's a personal choice. I mean, you get to do what you want with your art. You get to do what you want with your body. This is the choice that he's made. But to think back about his previous art and what he used to be like, it's just what an interesting transformation. And like I said, he's not the only one. Ellen Page did a very similar thing. Ellen Page initially came out as gay, and that was a massive thing that she did, because I believe she did it in front of at some sort of like press conference for a massive organization that was working on, you know, human rights and LGBTQ rights as well. And she said, you know what, I'm lesbian, and came out in that way, and that was stepping stone number one. Of course, now Ellen Page is now Elliot Page and has decided to transition, and that's not to necessarily minimize the decisions of these people or to say that they're, you know, motivated by something other than truly believing that they are non-binary or truly believing that they are trans. I think there's a lot of uncomfortability that comes with just being an average, everyday human being. You tack on some fame and celebrity to that, and I can imagine things can get more uncomfortable if it's something that you're not ready for, and that can lead you down the path of these sorts of identities. But it's interesting to watch the greater public start to accept these things and to see tweets like that from Pop Crave where they say no men were nominated for Video of the Year, when clearly if you have two eyes that are functioning, you can tell that Sam Smith is a biological man. So we're on the acceptance train, and that's not the only story where this has happened this week. The Library of Congress, one of the biggest libraries, if not the biggest library in all of the United States, which is, you know, acclaimed for being, you know, a well of knowledge, you know, where you can go to, you know, find things out, to read, to just engage intellectually, had put out an article about this sort of event that they're hosting for an author by the name of Casey McQuiston, who wrote a book called Red, White, and Royal Blue. Now, they made the massive mistake of referring to Casey McQuiston as she and her in this article, which is a no-no when you are dealing with somebody who identifies as they, them, and subsequently had to apologize, saying, quote, "We deeply apologize to Casey McQuiston for using incorrect pronouns for them in our last post. Casey will be signing books after the conversation about her upcoming book Tuesday evening." So they put out this apology. Of course, it was ratioed to hell for them saying that and not being able to acknowledge reality, because if you take a look at Casey McQuiston, I think we can all figure out with almost 100% certainty whether or not this person is in fact a she, her, a they, them, or a he, him. And this is not the first for the Library of Congress, right? We've covered the Library of Congress on this show, which is not something I've expected, because they tainted a 200-year-old flute. You guys remember this, when the Library of Congress brought out President James Madison's 200-year-old crystal flute and allowed Lizzo to use the flute on stage? And here's a clip of her doing that and twerking with James Madison's 200-year-old crystal flute. So the Library of Congress doesn't necessarily have a massive doesn't have a really massive stance on standing behind things that maybe have a little bit of value to them, and, you know, keeping your feet on the ground as far as respecting things. And I just thought, when I read this story, I've spoken about the Library of Congress before, and what was it for? It was that gosh darn 200-year-old flute and Lizzo twerking with it.
What will they do? What will they come up with next at the library? It's like, you know, sir, this isn't Wendy's times 10. Like, you're supposed to just be like these sweet old librarian people who are really into nerdy and into history and books and stuff. And instead we're getting, you know, Lizzo with a flute and changing pronouns and all this stuff. But, you know, it's like, you want to your point as a minute ago, you want to be compassionate, sympathetic toward people who are struggling with their identity and, you know, maybe confused or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the use of these neo-pronouns and stuff is a clear marker of an ideology. And that means it's something that doesn't apply to everybody. It's not based on objective reality, objective truth. It's something that is a preferred way of thinking about the world. It is a closed system of thinking that is tantamount to almost a religious belief system. So by participating in that, you're basically imposing that ideology on all of society, which is why when Popcrave is affirming this non-binary category by saying Sam Smith's not really a man, and when the Library of Congress is apologizing for not using they, them pronouns, this is like institutions and the media are crystallizing the ideology at a broader level and creating the perception. You know, we talk about like in Yuri Bezmenov's Steps of Totalitarianism or whatever, that one of the main stages is demoralization. And the way that you demoralize people out of fighting for reality and out of fighting for the truth is by creating the perception that this is just ubiquitous. It's everyone believes it. You're wrong. You're outdated. You're a bigot if you don't subscribe to these new pronouns, if you don't affirm these new identity categories. And it's getting tiresome because we see it so much, but
exactly.
I think it's important to speak out every time we see it because reality's at stake.
Yep, they wear you down, guys. They wear you down. You see 100 tweets a day that are referring to people by the wrong pronouns and like keeping people in check, and you're like, I can't possibly keep up with this, right? I can't possibly keep in check all of these different institutions, publications, media outlets, entertainment, you know, people and people in the industry who are doing this. So I might as well just let it slide, and I might as well just concede that, you know, Sam Smith is in fact not a man. And, you know, no men were nominated for Video of the Year this year, and I'm not going to call it out. And you'll think, some of you might think, Amala, you're being so dramatic. It's just a tweet or whatever. But then you, like, move forward and you start to see more respected institutions, like the story we covered about Johns Hopkins University, which is, I mean, obviously an accredited university that is known to be one of the most prestigious places that you can attend to get your higher education, puts out a definition of lesbian that presumably they are teaching in schools that says a non-man who is attracted to non-men. That's their definition of what a lesbian is. So when it turns from like little tweets and people, you know, like sharing ideas on the internet into Johns Hopkins University quite literally not being able to put the word woman in a definition, we got a problem. Because who comes out of Johns Hopkins University? Your teachers, people who go into the media industry, people who go into education, and your doctors, right? Those are the people who are going to be serving you down the line when things are necessary, and they're going to be the ones who, due to a failure by these universities and institutions, no longer understand what it means to be a woman and think the definition of a lesbian is a non-man who's attracted to non-men. Now, we're going to go into this other story that is sort of a tale that I think we're going to see pop up more and more now as this system becomes cemented and people start to realize that we are just going to let go of truth and anybody can just identify as whatever they want. People are going to start to abuse that system and play little tricks. We have a story here out of Norway that says a male student changes gender to gain admission to esteemed NTNU program, which prioritizes female applicants. So it says here, a male student in Norway took advantage of the nation's lenient gender self-identification laws to gain admission to the Norwegian University of Science and Technology. The student said changing his gender for the purposes of gaining extra admission points was, quote, about as easy as switching mobile plans, end quote. According to the website, NTNU has a, quote, development plan for gender equality and diversity, end quote, in which they state that, quote, there is gender imbalance in many disciplines and women are still underrepresented in top-level academic positions, end quote. To combat overrepresentation of one sex in several programs, the university has adopted a unique policy to award those who apply as female extra points toward admission in instances where the program has an extreme gender imbalance. Okay, so if you're a dude right now who's saying, you know, I really want to study engineering or, you know, whatever it is that whatever field you want to go into, why would you not take out an application and check the box for female and go ahead and gather up the extra points that are going to get you admitted so that they can even the score? Why would you not do that? It's very similar to what we saw on the affirmative action issue. A lot of white students and Asian students were like, if I'm going to apply to Harvard or Yale, I'm just going to check the black box, or I'm going to say that I'm biracial and that, you know, I have African descendants. Because if you're going to give people preferential treatment and give them a leg up, why would I not take that very same leg up? If you're not going to play fairly, people are going to join in. And I'm on the fence about this, right? I get why somebody would do this. For one, it's like a ha-ha at the system, pointing out how absolutely ridiculous and delusional it is. But in another sense, I feel like it validates what they're doing. So I want there to be a sense of balance. Like when I saw the Leah Thomas story of a man just saying, I identify as a woman now, let me swim in the pool, let me defeat these women. I sat there and hoped that Leah Thomas was playing a trick on everybody, and that Leah was gonna go out there, win a bunch of races, and then get in front of the media and say like, I punked all y'all. I know that I'm a man, and I knew I was gonna beat these women, and I took this chance to do it instead. And this is presumably what this student is doing. So I don't know whether or not to be like cautious about it or give kudos.
Yeah, I felt the same when I read this. On the one hand, you have like what Zuby did a few years ago, where he's like, yeah, I'm identifying as a woman as I deadlift the record for the UK,
right,
of women. And he clearly did that as like to make a mockery of this idea that you can change genders or whatever. But as I read the article, it said this student actually failed the meritocratic standards for mm-hmm. getting admission into this school as a man, but they were, you know, giving affirmative action to women. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of, they created the incentive by doing the affirmative action, and yet they also created the loophole by letting him take advantage of anyone can identify as anything, and that being something that's crystallized in Norwegian law. So it's kind of like you're watching the ideology eat itself and collapse on itself, and it's kind of silly. But I don't think this guy's necessarily a hero, because his motivation appears to be he couldn't make it as a male, so he just went in as a female, and that's not necessarily commendable.
Right. I just, it's crazy to me that if you want things to be equal, okay, then have women meet the same standard that the men have to meet to get into the school. That is what is equal. It would be going in blind and saying, look at the students and what they've done. Let me see, based on merit alone, who gets in. If it happens to be a man, if it happens to be a woman, that's an even playing field, right? Because we went from a space of not allowing women into spaces of education. So you go from not allowing to allowing, and hopefully making it blind in cases to who you allow in and looking at merit alone. But no, we can't have that, because we must make up for past discrimination with present discrimination and not let this guy in to receive higher education and let the women who presumably have to hit a much lower standard to get into the same place. We'll just let them in. And it's all based on this illusion that if you give women that leg up, that all of our industries would somehow turn to 50-50. And it's denying the fact that women and men make different choices. You know, if you just even out the whole playing field, guess what? You're probably not going to have 50 male nurses and 50 female nurses. You're probably not going to do 50% engineers and 50% male engineers and 50% female engineers. You're not going to have 50% male coal miners and 50% female coal miners, because that's not the way that we make choices. And you can blame that largely on socialization, or you could say that it's a mixture of socialization and actual nature, and the nature to the differences between men and women, that we make different decisions, that women are far more likely to take on the position of being a teacher or a nurse, and men are far more likely to want to go into, you know, coding and engineering. That can be acknowledged. We can allow for that. And until we take the time to actually do that, men are going to pretend to be women to get into their programs. And white people and Asian people are going to pretend to be Black and Native American in order to get into schools. Can you fault them when the entire system is rigged against you in that way? I don't know. I'm sure you could find some fault to give them. I'm sure you could, but I'm not leaning in that direction, clearly, as you can tell. That is
I'll
not
be right
where
back we're... and go grab my headdress so we can get better engagement on this episode for affirmative action.
Right. It's exactly right. Oh, gosh. It's crazy. I mean, if I was... See, I'm lucky, right? Because I'm black and female, right? I'm in the best position you could possibly be in. Like, I can do whatever I want right now. I could just shoot for the stars, pick whatever profession I want, pick whichever school I want to go to, and I'm in there like swimwear, baby. But if I was a white guy who, you know, still had the same drives as myself, you know, I might be tempted. I might be tempted to put a little lie in there. I might be tempted to start acting a little girly pop if I was a white man.
I mean, at least thank God there's the, like, you know, prefer not to answer option on a lot of these forms where they ask you for your race. Mm-hmm. So as a white dude, you're like, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and leave that information out so they can't factor that in.
I'm going to make it race neutral myself. That's actually, yeah, you know, it's not a bad move. It's not a bad move indeed. Okay, we're going to move away from the gender topics and start talking about what I talked about earlier, self-flagellating white people. You'll often hear this, guys. White people have no culture. They've created nothing. They've left no mark on the world. In fact, all they've done is, pillage, rape, steal everything that they claim to have created. And we've heard this statement echoed in this now viral TikTok. Let's hear it. This is an Englishman talking about the UK and England.
People have culture. English people do not have culture. They are uncultured. They've just stolen from the entire globe. They are essentially racist people because we just stole from the entire planet. Our national dish is chicken tikka masala. What the f*** is that about? We have about as much culture as a bit of pavement that's been painted over of horse s***.
Oh my God.
Okay. So he's very impassioned about that. I did have to look up the chicken tikka masala thing, right? Because I was like, that is actually kind of wild. Let me look into this. It is one of England's national dishes. It is one of many. So they still have like the full English breakfast and bangers and mash and fish and chips and all that stuff. But chicken tikka masala is one of the dishes on there. But what's interesting is that we've sort of as a culture in general accepted this idea that white people have no culture. And you'll hear this joke spun in many different ways. They'll be called uncultured. It'll be said that, you know, they're just colonialists who have stolen everything, that they don't season their food. And in fact, if we had left them without the spices that they'd gotten through, you know, the spice trade and the transatlantic slave trade, they would never season their food. And they don't have, you know, any marketable dishes that they make. They don't have any just deep-seated or deeply entrenched culture surrounding them. And of course, we know that that's a lie, right? And if you took the time to step outside of your own bias, even if you still wanted to believe that all white people were racist and that they have a horrible history of colonialism, they would still have culture, right? They would still have influences that they have brought on the world. And in fact, you could make the argument that through colonialism, they spread their culture to many places all over the world. There are many things that we would not have today, including the country that I'm living in right now and talking to you from would not exist without a culture brought about by white people. And I just recently went to London and was there for 2 weeks. And there's just so many things from like arts and their government system, you know, Shakespeare's plays, all the different literature that was brought about by England that you in no way, shape, or form can look at and say has not created a cultural impact in our daily lives. And guess where that came from? White people. It came from white people. We can acknowledge, even if you think all the other horrible stuff about white people, they do in fact have a culture. And I think people are scared to admit that the culture influences their daily lives and is deeply enmeshed in their daily lives because they believe all of these other, you know, things about the heinous atrocities of white people that they can't possibly concede the idea that, yeah, everybody has culture. Everybody. So it's just so weird. And to hear from a white person, too, we all know it's like the guilt and you're like the cool white person when you admit to not having any culture. But at what point does that stop fulfilling you, right? The pat on the back that you get for being some sort of white ally and disavowing the people who came before you. Just a question.
And the irony too of him saying like the national dish has become tikka masala. The reason why that happened was because so many people came from other cultures into your culture, presumably because they thought there was opportunity there or there the your culture built something that was worthwhile to be a part of, that they wanted to go and benefit from that. And right. So it's kind of ironic that you're using that to support your point. Also speaking the English language, mind you, as much of the world speaks of the actual language right. Of the culture that you're talking about. So it's just silly.
Yeah, it is crazy. And now it's like, you look at the UK and what I think like the most used name in the UK right now, or the top male name is like Muhammad. Think about that. And that's not to say anything bad about like people who are immigrating or anything like that. It's just to say that the culture that was created in that country is bringing people of different backgrounds and different cultures in mass to your country. So much so that the highest name in your country right now is Mohammed. A name from a completely different culture separate from your own, because people are flocking to the culture that you created. It's very similar to what's happening here in the US, right? We have, you know, massive immigration surges happening that nobody's talking about. There are people from all different parts of the world coming to invest in American culture, whether they are good or bad. We won't get into that. That's not the topic of discussion for today. But they are coming here because the culture that we have created has somehow managed to reach all parts of the earth in a way that influences people to want to be here. I remember in watching some of the protests that were happening in Cuba, I mean, probably a year or so ago, that they were, you know, flying Cuban flags and everything, right? But a through line was that the American flag was flying while individuals were protesting their very own country. And why is that? It's because the ideals that we strive for in this country are you know, transcending the very land that we live in, moving to other places. And Cuban people are being influenced to say, we want what America has here. Let's fly their flag. Let's fly a piece of their culture. And the UK has that just the same. And I'm just going to keep ranting here because I have so much to say on this topic. When you talk about injustice, oppression, social justice, movements to end systemic racism, or to, you know, include LGBTQ plus people, or to validate, you know, equality for the sexes, what are the places that those conversations are primarily being had? The United States, the UK, the West in general. And why is that happening? Because our culture entertains those discussions. The very reason that this British guy in this video can stand there in front of a microphone and say that his country has no culture is because his country has a culture. Oh my gosh.
What about France? Like, I feel like whenever we have this conversation, we're refining it down to like the UK and the United States.
Yeah.
But like France, how could you look at a place like France and say it has no culture? Or Italy or Russia, right?
They don't think about it that way. I truly think that they don't make the connection between the fact that all of these people that are surrounding you in their respective countries are also white people.
All of these countries would be the exact same places if there was no culture.
Right. They get on the mic for the podcast and they say that no culture exists for white people, and they go home and book a trip to Paris that they've been saving up their entire lives to go and see. And why is that? Because a culture has been created, and it's one that you are striving to be a part of. Oh, man. And it's the same one, like the woke leftists in America. It's like, ask them where they want to travel. It's like, Paris. Oh, I want to go to London. Oh, I want to go to Germany. I want to go to Italy. It's just like, okay, those are the same colonialist hubs that you've been complaining about in this country for God knows how long. And that's the first place you want to go when you have, you know, saved for your life to take a little bit of time off for vacation or to do something fun for yourself. Make it make sense. Make it make sense. Oh, man. we've got a few more videos to get into here. And I promise I won't rant as much as I just did for that one. This one is on a different note. It's not on the topic of gender or of race. This is a girl who's recently gone viral on a Twitter and TikTok for talking about breaking up with her boyfriend. Now, she's seemingly a member of Gen Z. So we're going to get some Gen Z speak here. But I want to, without bias, watch this video, and then we'll come to our conclusion about how we feel, because she's been getting a lot of hate for saying what she said in this video.
I recently was going on dates with a man, and nice guy, good guy, treated me well. But once I realized that he was not my husband, because I'm only looking for husband energy at the moment, I ended things with him, and I sent him a text, because like it wasn't that serious, you know, I didn't feel like I needed to do it in person. Anyway, so I sent him a text, told him that I didn't see it going any further, and he agreed. He said that he didn't think that he could make me happy. And while I appreciate that, it was a very kind response. He didn't even try. He didn't even try and say that he like wanted to change, that he wanted to like whatever. Like, I can be manipulated. I will listen to you. But you didn't even try. I recently.
Okay, so that's the video, right? This is a 43-second video. This girl, they came after her for saying this. I think the main complaint was really like, how dare you break up with somebody and then get, you know, upset when they've been respectful towards your wishes to break up with them. It's like, you know, if you didn't like the guy as much and he pushed you harder to be in a relationship with you, you'd be calling him abusive. You'd be saying a whole different story about him on the internet. And I think it's a little dramatic. I understand what people are saying, right? If you break up with somebody and that is your request, especially in today's time, men have to respect that request. There's no fighting back as a man right now if a woman's trying to break things off with you, because you will get dragged through the dirt, right? So that's exactly what she should have expected, breaking up with somebody. But I can also understand the sentiment of being in a relationship with somebody and thinking, nah, he's not the one. He's not putting in the husband energy, as she calls it. He's not putting forth as much effort as I see for my future. And wanting to be wrong about that, and wanting to come to that man and say, you're not giving me husband energy, and suddenly have him perk up and say, oh, you wanted me to be a husband, I'm gonna be a husband, you know? I'm gonna start putting that energy forward for you. What can I do? I'm gonna get you the flowers, I'm gonna do the... Women want that, you know, by and large, whether they admit it or not, because I know the feminists don't admit that right now, they do want it. You kind of want that to be the case when you go to break up with somebody, because who wants to cut something off when you could have a simple fix? Or as she says, I could be manipulated into thinking you're your husband energy. I think she just worded it wrong. It's a failure.
Yeah, maybe an indirect form of communication where, you know, you're not really wanting to cut the relationship off. Apparently, you're just wanting the guy to pursue you a little harder. And that's what presumably what she means by I can be manipulated. But I saw someone on Twitter said she's a 21st century woman with a 20th century mentality, maybe. And I think maybe it's a part of the difficulty of dating right now, because as the guy, you're like, oh, well, you know, consent's a big deal. And I don't want to be seen as a aggressive predator if this girl is giving me the communication that she's no longer interested in my pursuit, so I better back off, you know. And right. I guess he can't be blamed for that, but I think we need a little more context to know like how serious this relationship was, how long were they together, because I do think it's like valid to maybe try to test out where your guy's at. But again, that's more mind games. Maybe you just be more direct and communicate and say, hey, I'm not getting husband energy from you enough. Maybe clarify what that means in case they don't speak Gen Z, but I'm not sensing as much of a pursuit. Like, how into this are you? I don't know, but I can't, you know, this is not the type of relationship dynamic that I envision for myself.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. And maybe like get the cards on the table. Maybe it's less romantic or whatever, but maybe we do just have to communicate extra directly in this generation when less can be left up to the imagination.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't really get why this blew up that much. It sounded like a pretty amicable, I didn't think he was putting enough effort in. And guess what? He agreed. Like, he was just not in this for the long run. And I'm not in this for the long run with somebody who's not going to be my husband. So the fact that this blew up, and I think it's just solely because she said, well, I wish he would have put in a little bit more effort after I broke up with him, right? Which, don't tell me you've never had that thought, guys, okay? Don't you tell me that you've never had something end and then you kind of go to bed at night and you're having like a pillow thought of like, oh man, if only he had just done this extra thing, or if only she had just like turned around and said, you know, wait, you know, let's not do this right now. What where's a way that we can fix this? Don't sit on your high horse and act like that has never that has never happened to you.
If only I got that UP text right now.
Exactly. So I don't know. It probably wasn't going to work out. And guess what? At the end of the day, they both got out of situations that they probably shouldn't have been in. She was with a guy who wasn't going to give her the energy she wanted, and he was with a girl who's a little maybe looking for a little bit too much from him. Boom. Done.
Fairy tale ending right there. Yeah.
Fairy tale ending right there. We don't have all that much to talk about. I did have this Victoria's Secret story that we can touch on really briefly. Y'all know Victoria's Secret sort of changed up their marketing. I want to say like maybe a year and a half back, where they decided we're going to start being more inclusive and start showcasing plus size bodies and a lot of diversity. And this is the new push forward for Victoria's Secret. Nothing's a secret anymore, right? We're just going to keep pushing forward. There's no ideal. The angels are in fact wholly unrealistic for women. But now, they're releasing a new collection, and they're bringing back those old school angels. Adriana Lima. I don't know if I can even show these photos because that's fine. Gisele Bündchen, Naomi Campbell. They're all going to grace Victoria's Secret once again, because I think maybe they figured out that standard that the angels once had was something that women looked out for. And there might be, you know, many, many people who could never, you know, wish to be in the body of a Victoria's Secret angel, and that, you know, just purely it won't happen if we're being realistic. But there is something to, you know, aspiring to an image that I tend to value if I'm seeing that from a company or just personally with my own motivation. And there's two different types of people, right? I think there are camps of people who want to be told, you are perfect, you are enough, like go get them, you're always gonna do great and with whatever level you come at, because you're simply just being you and you are special and you are wonderful. And there is times for that and there are people for that. And then there are others who have to see something to aspire to, who have to see like a step up, who have to like look at places where they could improve, and they want that to be emphasized in their life. I think more often than not, that's the difference between men and women. Like men kind of need to be told, you're fat and you need to, you know, you need to go and work out. And women want to be told, like, you're great, let's go to the gym and be great together, and whatever we come out with is going to be great. And now Victoria's Secret is maybe changing its tune in going back to the Eurocentric beauty standard of symmetry and thin. We'll see. Yeah.
It's kind of a tale of two marketing strategies, right? It's like there was the old school sort of aspirational beauty, and then there's the new school accessible beauty. But it was interesting that Brittany Martinez, who we saw tweeted this, she runs that EV magazine, but she said this new campaign that they're doing, bringing back these models, is one of the most viral collections that they've had in years. So I think that's interesting. And is it just the nostalgia factor that is like everyone remembers these models and they're older now, but it's cool that they're bringing them back? Or yeah, is it that they also are nostalgic for the time where Victoria's Secret was more associated with that aspirational beauty? Like my wife has said, you know, when she sees some of the newer woke ads, she's like, look, I want to feel hot when I put on their clothes. That's why, you know, but buy that brand. It's not because I want to feel like I'm fat or anything, you know? So right. I get that sentiment, and I guess it's just a marketing choice. And the proof should be in the pudding, as far as like what's more profitable to pursue. So anyway, I just thought it was interesting that this one seemed to resonate more or bring back a lot of energy compared to some of the more recent stuff they've been doing.
Yeah. We'll find out. Maybe they're backtracking and realizing that the angels were not so bad after all. Okay, guys, we're gonna get into super chats. Let's do it.
All righty. A little hard pivot there, but it's fine. Let's see. Sup, my dude's kicking us off today. He's a regular. He says, I gave in and listened to a few 1975 songs. So here we go, picking on Amala's favorite band again.
Here we go.
I was pleasantly surprised, very ethereal, dreamy, and pretty. Then I woke up from the nightmare.
Wow. Okay.
I should have just left it. Should have just left it.
Yeah, I continue to stand the 1975. So nothing's changed in here, guys.
Let's see. Kim Lacey says, my heart goes out to our friends and family impacted by the disaster in Lahaina, Maui.
Yeah. Massive fire. I saw that, which is crazy. I don't remember when I was in Maui, but was that this year? Was I in Maui this year? I think I was in Maui this year, and it's beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. And to see that kind of happen is crazy. You just never know what's around the corner, and hopefully everybody, you know, recovers quickly and they can bring back a lot of the beauty, because that's one thing about like Hawaii. They care deeply about their land and keeping everything in order. So it's tragic to see.
And thanks for calling attention to that, Kim. Alex says, where is the BS button at? Amala, you would not want Shrek to kiss you even if it helped you regain consciousness. If he doesn't have Riz, you wouldn't like it.
Okay, first of all, guys, I said, we did a video on Snow White, which you guys can go and check out, and everybody always complains about the non-consensual kiss between Snow White and the prince. And if you just... Okay, I'm about to get dramatic. If you just ate a poison apple, okay, guys, and you are unconscious, meaning, baby, you are going to die. You are going to die unless somebody kisses you. I said, if that person is Shrek, let the man kiss me. I would like to live. So I stand by that statement. Even if Shrek doesn't have any Riz, I'm unconscious. How am I going to know? You can't Riz me up if I'm unconscious.
Right, like what if you have an unattractive EMS guy who shows up in the ambulance if you need CPR? You're like, no, I'd rather die. Like, come on.
Yeah. What happens when you need mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, guys? Are you going to have to sign a consent form for that first? Because that's the argument that people are making for Snow White. I should have said that in the video, because that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
That's why you got to watch the lives, too. You get to hear the bonus takes and info. Must Pavlov Dogs, my favorite super chatter name, says Sam Smith needs to update the lyrics to his song Stay With Me to Guess It's True. I'm not good at a one night stand, but I still need love because I'm just a non-binary person.
Yeah.
In his own words.
But I still need love because I'm just a man. That is going to have to switch.
Yeah. Every time that song's played on the radio these days, it's dead naming himself.
Call the police.
Or dead gendering, I guess, whatever.
Misgendering.
Emily Tiedman says, Re Snow White, you said what I've been thinking. If I'm unconscious, do what it takes to wake me up. If it takes Brandon sniffing my hair, so be it.
Y'all, wow. I'm like, okay, I'm CPR certified if y'all ever need it, right? Okay. But when you do CPR on somebody, you're literally you can crack their ribs. And these feminists are gonna say that he kissed her non-consensually. That's really the problem. Would you prefer to have a set of cracked ribs or something? It just blows my mind. There's no logic. There's no logic to be found.
If you haven't seen that video, by the way, our editor did, Kobe did put Amala's face on the princess and Shrek in a little picture, and it's really funny.
It's
so
horrible.
Don't miss that.
It's horribly, horribly good.
A little extra
good.
Bit of creativity. Let's see. The delightful, dazzling Darika says they are non-binary. So what should Sam Smith identify sexually? Gay is men who are attracted to men, but lesbian is non-man attracted to non-men. Laughing emoji.
Might pull a Wayne Brady and give the old pansexual. Hey, that might be the new frontier for these people, because I don't know what else. Yeah, I honestly don't know what identity you would have.
But we know there's a flag for that somewhere, whatever it is.
It's a color on the flag somewhere.
TPS says, this mainly erases women. Who else has seen the women's bathroom turn gender neutral, but the men stays men only?
I can't say that I in particular have seen that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
There was
surprised.
A picture going around social media from Adelaide, Australia, where it was like, yeah, men's room and then everyone.
Dude, I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked at all that that's the case. I don't know what it is. I'm like, women maybe just allow it to happen more, or maybe just more people are... But it's weird because when you look up like transgender youth, it's the majority of them are girls trying to be boys. So you would think there would be like a massive push against men to like change the definitions of their words. But no, it's women. It's us. We got men pretending to be us, AI pretending to be us, definition changes where we can't even say our words anymore. Ugh. It's a perpetual struggle.
Tough times. Must Pavlov Dogs again says, during my woke days, I would disparage white people all the time so my friends would see me as, quote, one of the good ones. I'm embarrassed by that now.
Me too. I'd be one of the half the good ones with the whole biracial thing going on. But yeah, I used to do that. I used to fight with my white friends because they were like, that's racist towards white people. And I'm like, racism towards white people doesn't exist. Blah, blah, blah. There's no such thing as reverse racism. And my friends are still friends with me. So, I mean, shout out to those girls. One of them is on my Instagram. I just went to see her. She lives in Amsterdam. Her name is Audrey. She put up with me being dumb for so long. Like literally screaming at her about racism. Not actually screaming because I wasn't that kind, but many a back and forth about racism towards white people. Nuts.
She's a keeper, yeah.
She's a keeper.
Maggie Catherine says, white people have no culture. Also dismisses many countries, so many countries that are full of white people. I don't think they understand what culture really means.
No, they don't. They really don't. And I think that became abundantly clear, especially with that video of the British guy. Crazy.
Cray. Nortrom just sends a super chat. No message. What is RSDDIN currency? I'm very curious about that. I'm not familiar with that one.
Someone let me know in the chat. Next one.
Yeah. Elo says, hi, Amala. As a young person, I have to say you inspire me so much. If it wasn't for you, I would be a confused person with no gender, but I'm not, and you made that happen. You are truly an amazing person.
Oh.
That's so sweet.
Oh, my gosh. That, like, took me out of my thing I was searching. That's so sweet. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you're here, and we're happy to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
By the way, hello. Taylor, it's the Serbian dinar? I think is what that is.
Serbia. Yeah. Someone else commented that. Serbia. Super cool. Okay. Yeah. If you haven't already, comment in the chat where you're watching from. I saw Norway, Netherlands today. I think our international audience has been growing. So super cool to see.
Yes.
Randy V says, with Wayne Brady coming out as pansexual, I wonder if the term zonk, like on his show, Let's Make a Deal, will be a new gender pronoun, given that there's already Z-Zer.
Imagine. Oh, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I think that pronoun girl probably has that on her TikTok somewhere. She'll tell you how to use it. She'll tell you how to use those pronouns.
Alex again says, that blonde girl literally makes no sense. How can you say I don't want a relationship and then think manipulate me to become your wife? Mind games.
Because she wants the man. Let's transport ourselves into the brain of a Gen Z woman. She wants the man to be the opposite of what she thinks he is. That's what she wanted to happen. She wanted to be proved wrong, or at least, you know, manipulated in the direction of being wrong, because maybe she didn't want to be out of a relationship. Maybe it feels good to have a companion. Maybe she could have convinced herself that he was the right guy. There's a multitude of reasons we women do what we do, but those are just a few of them.
Yeah. I've been married for coming up on 2 years now, and I'm still trying to figure out the female mind, and nowhere close. So, you know, I've sympathized. Anna Aline says, will y'all ever have a Wamalore reunion or have Will on as a guest? Love the show. Slay.
That will not be happening. I'll just answer that.
Wamalore is an interesting term. Never heard that one before, but thank you, Anna. Claire Coog says, who do you recommend for more global news? I am unemployed right now, new grad, and spend a lot of my day listening to podcasts while job searching.
Global news? Honestly, I am not the person to go to for that. For me, when I find like global news stories, it's like stuff that floats to the top over like the US stories, like that story out of Norway today that we talked about. Those are the stories that we find, but few and far between. Like, we don't find them that often, I feel like. It just depends. When there's like super big stories that happen, we find them. I don't know that I go to any place in particular for global news. Do you, Taylor?
I mean, I'm on Twitter for news in general. So if there's a story that's going on somewhere in the world, it usually, you know, will find its way to Twitter, and that's where we'll get wind of it. But yeah.
Yeah.
Alex again says, I bet that blonde girl was going after Horacio. So she probably went after an F boy and then is complaining that he wouldn't commit.
You make know it what? Make sense. But as I said, Horatio, which is, he's stealthy. Okay. A lot of women are getting tricked by that man. Believe it or not.
This poor guy's going to be an inside joke on the show for the yes. rest of his life.
Yes, he is.
We're gonna have to have him on at some point to yeah. make him give an accounting
I'm gonna
for
interrogate
himself.
him.
Judy Barton says, sending greetings from the Czech Republic. Keep up the good work, guys.
Oh my gosh, thank you. That's so cool. I have no reference for like what the Czech Republic is like. I just know that's cool.
I recently I'm a glutton for punishment, I guess, but just for fun, I went and got like a blank map of Europe and just to test myself, filled it in. And the Slovakia, Slovenia, Czech Republic, all that was like admittedly a tougher region mm-hmm. for me to Eastern Europe. But after a couple of times, I was able to get it. And I think I'm like close to 100% on Europe now. So maybe we should have you do that on the show just to see how your geography skills are working.
Did you guys like to see that? We don't want to. Y'all don't want to see that. Mainly, I don't want to see that.
All right. And Carla Montana says, congrats on passing the driver's test, Amala.
Yeah, I didn't even tell that story. I went, so I can drive, right? I've been driving since I was like 15. But since I've moved to California, which was over 2 years ago now, I have never gotten a California ID. So I finally was like, I'm going to go to the DMV and go and get my ID. And I thought, silly me, it was just going to be me handing them like proof of residency, give them my passport or whatever, and they're just going to say, go take your picture, here's your ID, because you've already taken a driver's test. Why would you need to do it again? And so I got there, and the guy's like, oh, you have to take a test. And I was like, okay, cool, I'm going to get in the car. It's going to be so easy. He's like, no, you have to take the written test. And then I was like, I was sweating. He's like, it's 40 questions. And if you get 8 wrong, they like kick you out of the test and you have to come back and take it again. You get 3 tries to take it. So I'm like, okay, I gotta do it. Just, you know, fake it till you make it. I go in the line and there's this older woman in front of me and an older man behind me. And they start talking to me and talking to each other. And they're like, oh, this test is so hard. And he's like, I've taken the test 2 times and I failed it. And the lady in front of me says she took it 12 times. 12 times and she failed the test. So I'm like, oh no, this is not gonna go well and I need to get this license. So then they're like, they ask all these crazy questions that are not in the handbook and like, you're not gonna get them right, and they just purposefully trying to trick you. So I go back there, I'm like, my heart is beating. I haven't had test anxiety like since I was a child, and I'm sitting there taking this test and I'm like counting on my fingers the number of questions I get wrong, because if you get it wrong, it tells you immediately. So I got 5 wrong, which is fine. 5 out of 40 is not bad. And I got my license, so what can I say? Catch me out there on the streets.
I congratulated Amala for no longer being like 15 in her ID photo. Until today, her ID was still like the vertical one that is like given to children.
Yes, and y'all know I was an uggo back then. I really was. If I can't bring myself to post that picture on the internet. But I'm so glad to see it go. I feel like every time I hand somebody my license, they like look at it and go like this to me, because it looks nothing like me. So yeah, we're happy to see her go. We got a new photo. And life is good.
I just had to change mine to Tennessee. It was actually a pretty smooth experience, but for whatever reason, I didn't get the real ID thing. So I'm going to have to go back and figure that out. But yeah.
Did you have to take a test?
We did the exact same thing, brought the exact same documentation, but she got it and I didn't. No, I did not have to take a test.
Tennessee's just letting like anybody drive these days.
I guess so. Maybe it's because I'm a real grown up and wasn't a child in my last one. Have you just been using your learner permit for the last 7 years?
Technically, it kind of is. It is the it is the picture that I took when I was 15. And so, yeah, it technically is. It technically is that license.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, a couple more super chats here. Taylor says hello from Ontario, Canada. Great work, you guys. Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you.
Franklin says, thoughts on the anti-white Malema chant/rally in South Africa. I don't know if you guys have commented on that yet. Western governments are silent.
Is that where they were chanting like kill the Boer and all that crazy stuff?
Yeah.
Wild. Guys, that is wild. I don't know, like, the intricacies of exactly what it is that they're advocating for, but it's clearly, you know, a race-based movement from what I've seen, and terrifying. I mean, it's crazy. And it just makes you think about where the rhetoric around race can lead you to, right? And why I say things like, you know, these tweets that we're talking about today that change the gender, you know, and change certain words, why they become so important. Because once you have that just congruence and everybody accepts the lie, you get stuff like that. And it's terrifying. It's truly, truly freaky.
Yeah. Monica Leah, so I think this is our last one today, says, why woke people / SJWs go mad when some conservative and nationalists publish cooking and baking recipes? Recipes are unpolitical. I haven't seen that.
I've seen the whole, like I said, the whole, you guys don't season your food or whatever. And I've seen cultural appropriation surrounding food stuff. Maybe that's what you're referring to.
The cowboy caviar thing.
Yeah. Gosh, we won't even get into that. But yeah, mm-hmm. they love to come after people for posting recipes and saying, you need to give credit to the initial culture. You need to do your research of who was the first person to make this dish and give them credit before you make it. BFFR. Just keep it moving. Just ignore them and keep it moving.
Tell them to pound sand, kick rocks.
Yeah, go kick rocks. Go touch grass. Anyways, guys, that is our show for today. I hope you had a fun time. We covered many things. Sam Smith not being a man, apparently. The Library of Congress apologizing for misgendering, plus the 200-year-old flute that Lizzo twerked with. The Norway man who pretended to be a woman to get into school, plus the idea that white people have no culture. Guys, let me know your thoughts on any of these issues in the chat down below or in the comments down below after the stream. As always, I encourage healthy debate, so duke it out, but do so respectfully. And if you like the stream, like, subscribe, maybe click the notification bell to get notifications that come way too late because YouTube sucks. But click the notification bell just to let me know that you love the show. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Tomorrow's video is about many stories that I've seen in the news this week and just over the past few years of maybe our politicians are a little too old. And we're going to talk about the idea of being run by the old in gerontocracy and break that down a little bit, but lightheartedly. Stick around for that. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.